Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live back on NotChat on Blog Talk Radio after a very brief 2-week hiatus. I am your host, Ace Diamond, and I am once again joined by the best ring announcer in the area, in my opinion, NWF's ring announcer, Miss Callie.
Good evening, Ace. What an exciting night we've got tonight. It is so close. Like, I can feel the energy. I can feel the excitement. The NWF makes its return to the UAW Hall in Fairfield, and it is going to be an action-packed night. I mean, just the few matches that I have that I'm going to discuss, along with our guest tonight, Alex Hayden. It is phenomenal. These matches alone are worth the price of admission. So, I mean, go out, get your tickets. They are available at the BP station on Main Street. We've actually, I believe Jordan Clearwater is actually at Buffalo Wings and Rings in the Jungle Gym Plaza right now. And you can get your tickets from him tonight. So I suggest go out, get your tickets right now. Get them. You don't want to miss the action this Saturday night. It is hot as always. They're going to blow the roof off the place.
And the NWS is always a good time. And as you said, our guest tonight is none other than NWS superstar Alex Hayden. Welcome to Matt Chat.
Thanks for having me.
Alex, you got a huge, huge opportunity this Saturday, but we're going to get to that in a second. You've had quite the career in the NWF. Correct me wrong, you trained there. You're really kind of a jack of all trades, to be quite honest, around there. I think there's a lot of things you do that people don't always realize you're a part of.
That is absolutely true. I walked in and got my start in the NWS, and I, you know, do everything I can to help out where I'm needed.
If anybody's ever watched the shows, you know. You do everything from, I mean, you go out there, you put on some very solid, solid matches. I don't always believe you get the credit you deserve from, I won't necessarily say the higher-ups, but I don't always think you get the credit you deserve from the crowd, and I don't always think you get the credit you deserve from some of your opponents. I think they kind of overlook you a little bit, kind of like, oh, he's a bigger guy, whatever. And honestly, for a bigger guy, you're really quite agile. You guys like you, Larry D, are really kind of deceptively quick sometimes.
I try to be. I mean, it helps take your opponents off guard a little bit when you come out of nowhere and hit something that, you know, a bigger guy normally wouldn't, which obviously helps me to take advantage and take control of matches and pick up wins.
You formerly were partners with Brody Cormick, and unfortunately for Brody Cormick, that came to a rather unceremonious end at FanFest when you really did put your foot down, and I must say, I was quite thrilled to see that happen. You've really kind of stepped into your own since then, and it's really been a delight to watch.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Oh no, because I mean, you have it's been fun watching you come into your own, step out from behind the scenes, step out from behind your partner. And honestly, what was the last straw for you with that?
Well, let's see. I mean, go all the way back to the formation of the Everyday Players. It was Brody and the manager of champions, Kirk Shepard, who recruited me. Week after week, they'd come out, they'd make the pitch. I would decline it. They'd leave me laying. They'd leave that bat. And finally, you know, I kind of realized, man, maybe this isn't so bad. I mean, I've done a lot of tag team wrestling in my career. Me and Brody, our styles kind of mesh. So I was like, all right, let's move forward with this. And we did, and we were very successful as a tag team. I mean, shortly after, you know, me joining up with Brody, we were able to capture the tag team titles. And we were undefeated from the time we formed a team to the time we lost the tag team titles, which is, you know, no easy feat in the NWF. But the final straw was Kirk Shepard, you know, kind of backed off a little bit, took some time to himself, and he kind of held us together, you kind of say, because once he left, Brody got a big head and thought he was going to be the leader of the everyday players, that he was in charge of me, and we were always great when we worked together. But once one of us decided we were going to be the end all be all, that's kind of the end of it. You know, I tried to put up with it for as long as I could, just to, you know, try to get to keep the team together, because we were so successful as a tag team. Whether you liked us or you hated us, at the end of the day, we were really good tag team inside of that ring. So I tried to do everything I could, but eventually, you know, his ego just got too much for me to handle. I didn't like the direction he was heading. I didn't like the way he, you know, was carrying himself and trying to treat me, which, you know, a lot of people saw me as kind of the muscle of the everyday players. You know, kind of Brody found out how, you know, how strong and powerful I really can be when he decided to cross me.
That was true. If anybody missed that, make sure you check it out, because that Wide World of Sports match from FanFest really kind of, A, it was a first-time ever match, and B, that just really showed the level that people have to go to even progress in that company, because, I mean, you know as well as I do, every time any superstar in that company steps foot into that ring, they put out 110%, and you either step up or step out, as people have learned.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We have a banner hanging up in Bone Crushers that says, take pride or get out. And I fully stand behind that statement 100%. And everything I do within the NWF, whether I'm in the ring or outside of the ring, I am passionate about wrestling, and I like to think it shows in what I do. And, you know, if you doubt that I am committed to wrestling, that I will take it seriously and focus 100% when I'm in the ring, step in the ring with me and see what happens.
I've seen that. You don't want to cross paths. That is my personal opinion. Let's talk a little bit about this Saturday night, because you really know most of the players in these matches. Let's take the Unified Championship match. Lexus Montez defending against the man he probably never should have crossed, Christopher Michael Lotus.
Okay, so I have been in the ring with both of these men. You know, me and Lotus, we go a long ways back. Sometimes, like in recent weeks, where, you know, we're on the same side of things and we do well as a team. Other times we have been, you know, across from each other, and we will beat the heck out of each other if we have to. Lotus is no easy feat in that ring. He is hard-hitting, he's high-flying, he will do what he needs to do to win. And then, you know, the self-proclaimed best that we have to offer, the Prince of Sport, Lexus Montez, since he's kind of, you know, joined the ranks of the NWF roster, I've had several occasions where I've stepped in the ring with him, and he has, you know, whether I like to admit it or not, he has pushed me. You know, there's been a couple matches where neither one of us got the win. And, you know, the time limit ran out. We've had times where he's been able to beat me, and then we've had times where, you know, outside interference is coming to play in the part of it as in Pompano Joe. But, I mean, unified title on the line, it's going to be very interesting to watch. Lotus has, you know, he's the man who unified those titles. And the first
place,
he created that title. So he is no stranger to the unified championship. And then Lexus Montez, since setting his sights on that, has done everything he needed to do to retain and actually to gain that title. I mean, he held it for, what does he say? 3 minutes and 26 seconds. He held that title before it was taken from him by Nate Pelly and held up. And yet he didn't walk away. He kept fighting. He, you know, turned around and he managed to win a ladder match and gain that title. So this Saturday, these two, no love lost. Everybody wants that championship. It's going to be one to watch. That's for sure. I don't want to miss it.
I mean, the length Lexus Montez went to actually win that ladder match, taking, and I won't discredit him taking advantage of Lotus's injury, but
fair. That was not remotely fair, but he had a game plan. He set out to do what he was going to do. He did whatever it took for him to get that title. He always says he doesn't play by our rules, and he, you know, kind of proves that every single week when he steps in the ring. He'll hit you with a ring bell. He'll, you know, he'll take a low blow if he has to. He'll do whatever he has to do to try to win. Lotus, on the other hand, he will do the same thing. He won't stoop so low, but he will not quit fighting. I mean, look at the beating he took at the end of that scramble match.
Exactly.
Knee was wrenched, and he still managed to stay in the fight and almost capture that championship. What do you think is going to happen this Saturday when Lotus walks into the ring 100% fresh, didn't just wrestle, you know, seven other guys, and faces the champ? Could be a little bit different story this time around.
A little bit different story, and like you said, Lexus will stoop to some really low lows, but I think the one thing some people have forgotten, and Lexus has never seen this type, Christopher Michael Lotus is no stranger to stepping to those same lows. He's you know, kind of steered clear of that recently. But if push comes to shove, he's no stranger to it either.
This is true. He will if he needs to. He's done it before. But, you know, I said Lexus Montez will, you know, he'll stoop low if he has to. But let's not discredit him. This kid is insanely talented. He can go blow for blow with people. I mean, the fact that he chooses to go that route is kind of sad because, you know, sometimes I don't think he actually needs to. I think he applied himself a little bit more. He could pull off those wins. When you think you're the self-proclaimed absolute best, maybe that ego is going to come back to haunt him a little bit this Saturday in Fairfield. Just saying.
I couldn't agree more. Speaking of people that are no stranger to one another, the Tag Team Championship, Crimson Mafia defends against the reunited Natty Boys. And the Mafia was part of the reason Stewie Sags has been gone for so long. I think they got their hands full come Saturday.
Once again, no stranger to either one of these teams. I've wrestled all four of them on numerous occasions, whether it be singles matches, whether it be tag matches. The everyday players have faced off against both teams. I have faced them all in singles matches. And, you know, Dustin and Stewie, you know, sometimes people might look at them and, you know, think they don't take it serious, they're a joke, whatever. Let me tell you, these guys in that ring, they're so good as a tag team. they're fluent. They don't even have to, like, say anything to each other. They're on the same page 110%. These guys are such good friends. They can walk in and instantly know what the other one is thinking and hit a tag move like that. They hit that T-bomb, it's lights out. As somebody who's been on the receiving end of that, it's lights out. But then you got the Crimson Mafia, who, you know, the mercenary has been around for a long time in NWF. He's kind of done it all. He's, you know, it's been, you know, rubbed in everybody's face time and time again. He's the most decorated champion in NWF history. He's a multi-team tag team champion with different partners. He's held every single title the NWF has to offer. So he's a veteran in the ring. He commands that ring like nobody else. And then you have Lord Crew, who is an absolute monster in that ring. You know, last Saturday night in Covington, I went toe-to-toe with them. The end of the night, came up short, thanks to the help of Wildcat Chris Harris, who, speaking of which, will be at ringside with the Crimson Mafia. So when you're three strong, we've seen time and time again the numbers game play out in the favor of, you know, the Crimson Mafia, which is, you know, kind of why they're the tag team champions today, because they'll do what they need to. They have that numbers game. You think you got them beat, you got to look out for Wildcat Chris Harris, who is, you know, kind of calling the shots from the sideline and isn't afraid to get his hands dirty if he needs to.
And like you said, I mean, not discrediting the mercenaries' experience, but then you've got somebody that's been around, like Wildcat Chris Harris, multi-time decorated tag team champion pretty much anywhere he's ever been. This man wrote the...
Yeah.
You could almost say he wrote the book on tag team wrestling. He is...
You know, I...
He's very dangerous to have
watching a lot of, yes, yes, absolutely he is. He's extremely dangerous. I've learned a lot from watching America's Most Wanted tag team matches. I mean, that's part of why I was such a successful tag team wrestler. And it's part of the reasons why, you know, the Crimson Mafia is so successful. You know, you got two people on that team who have been multi-time tag team champions in the Mercenary and Wildcat. And then you add in this raw power of Lord Crew, you got a pretty destructive force on your hands. And, I mean, they've been wreaking havoc through the NWF, but at the same time, you have the Natty Boys, who have a grudge against the Crimson Mafia, who are no stranger to tag team gold themselves, and they're looking to get a little payback. This match really could go either way, but that numbers game, that worries me. Dewey and Dustin have to have a plan to neutralize Wildcat Chris Harris, and then you have a much better shot. But as long as the Wildcat is out there, he's dangerous. He's a loose cannon. You never know what's going to happen with him at ringside. And that's
when you get somebody like him, you better have eyes in the backside everywhere around you, because that X factor out there at ringside, you can't let it distract you, but at the same time, you have to be fully aware of him at all times.
Yep, you absolutely do. He will take every advantage he has to help his team succeed. He's not afraid to do whatever he has to. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He's not afraid to, you know, wrap those handcuffs around his hand and knock you out with that left hook, as I found out last Saturday. So, Dustin and Stu, be on the lookout for Wildcat. I don't have to tell you guys this. You guys already know this. But the NWF Army needs to kind of help out a little bit with this one, because it's going to be rough for the, you know, the challengers. They're two big, strong boys that can take care of themselves in a fight. But the numbers game has time and time again proven to be that ultimate deciding factor when it comes to the Crimson Mafia and who's going to win that match.
Most definitely, they take advantage of that every time, and they are not afraid to use that numbers game to that advantage to gain that victory. Then you've got the schmuck of all schmucks, Hollywood Adam Swayze, and that hemorrhoid, Gideon Weinstein. As Swayze takes on the Titan, challenging for the NWF Championship. And if Titan retains his title, not only does he walk out still NWF Champion, he also gets, and God, I am looking forward and hoping to see this, he gets 5 minutes in the ring with Gideon Weinstein.
Look, let's be honest. Everybody is looking forward to this, except for Gideon Weinstein. I'm
well,
sorry, but since Gideon has come on the scene, besides being an annoying little tick, or as the Titan like to call him, a used car salesman, which is actually a pretty good description of Gideon, like him or not, he's actually helped Swayze focus. Swayze's been on a roll since Gideon came on the scene. Didn't work out so well last month for, you know, the Hollywood star, but you got to believe that Gideon and Adam Swayze have been sitting back watching all the film they can on the Titan. They have a plan of attack. As annoying as a weasel he is, he's been detrimental to, you know, Swayze's victories as of late. And, you know, if he has any way about it, he's going to make sure his boy comes out on top, not only to become the NWF champion, but to save his own hide.
His own hide?
Having to step in the ring with the Titan. Because I don't know if you guys have, if anybody has paid up much attention, but have you seen Gideon try to hit the Titan in the past? It was, you know, it was
really
quite
kind
sad.
Of...
I've seen children hit harder. Let's just say that. So what do you think is going to happen if the Titan locks in that armbar on those scrawny little arms of Gideon? He's going to break them like a toothpick.
Well, I can't say he doesn't deserve it. And
I never said that either.
What I want to know is, where in the world did he find a shirt like that? That is so atrocious. Like, you need to wear sunglasses because that shirt will blind somebody.
Well, let's see.
Not only because it's ugly, but it's... Duh!
Look, people in Hollywood, their fashion, what they think is fashionable and necessarily isn't fashionable to everyday people. I don't even think people in Hollywood would think what Gideon wears is fashionable, but I guess if you got the money... You can have people custom made the ugliest shirt in the world, out of the finest fabric, I guess, if you want to, and you could look like a circus clown reject all you want, but yeah, those things are pretty bad.
John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever says he wants that shirt back in the trash.
No, yeah, he doesn't want that. He wants to burn that shirt. But
okay.
We can sit here and talk about how bad his wardrobe is all we want. He has created success for Swayze in the NWF. Now, is he landing him Hollywood roles? I haven't seen any of that yet. I mean, he's probably got some more hemorrhoid commercials lined up or, you know, something along those lines, but
maybe a Rogaine commercial next?
Swayze is impressive. Little girl scream and all. He is impressive when he steps his game up. And for a while there, you know, he fired his agent quit. Let's be honest, his agent quit. He tried to say that he fired his agent. The agent quit because she had enough of Swayze's crap. But, and ever since then, he was on a losing streak. He wasn't doing so well. And now he's found his new agent, Gideon Weinstein, and he's been on a roll. So Titan, the king of the fight, better be ready for a fight, because Swayze's going to have a game plan to, you know, kind of neutralize some of that, you know, some of what the Titan brings to the ring every time, because face-to-face, Swayze doesn't stand much of a chance, I don't think, but he's smart. And then he's got the smarts of Gideon Weinstein along with it. The Titan...
It could wreak some havoc.
He better not walk in just thinking he's going to blow through Swayze because it could come back behind him. And I know the Titan very well. He doesn't do that. He doesn't take any matches that way. He doesn't look at anybody. Has there nothing? He takes every person who steps up to him seriously. And I hope he does that this week, because if he doesn't, we could see a new NWF champion, and I do not want to see that title go to Hollywood.
My biggest thing is Swayze getting into the head of the Titan. I mean, you look at the last few weeks, of course, with your former partner, Brody Cormick, Swayze has left the Titan laying, stretchered out of Covington. I mean, that...
I don't... 2 weeks in a row, the Titan is attacked, left laying. Yeah, Brody was there, and Brody did, you know, showed Swayze a little tactic that me and him invented. You know, it's not one of my most proudest moments, I'll say that, but we use that share baseball bat, you know, in the corner technique to our advantage to soften up our competition walking into the Halloween Massacre match for the tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
And Swayze and Brody has done that the last couple weeks to, you know, soften up the champ for them, for their matches. And at Bone Crushers, apparently it wasn't enough, because, you know, the Titan had that match won. He had Brody in that arm bar. He was going to break Brody's arm off if he didn't tap. And then along comes Swayze to, you know, break that up real fast. And like you said, they stretchered him out. I wonder how, you know, Roger and Nate are going to allow this match to happen. 2 weeks in a row, he's left beaten and broken in that ring. I don't know how he can pass concussion protocol. I don't know how he can stand on his own, but it's the Titan. We've seen him go through worse and keep fighting. So, you know, I take that back. Roger and Nate could try to convince the Titan all they want to not do this match. They could tell him this match isn't going to happen. The Titan will still walk into that ring, sit down, and wait for Swayze to come to the ring, and then with his last breath, if he has to, he will try to beat the tar out of Swayze and then break the arm of Gideon. This is the kind of person the Titan is. He didn't get to be the king of the fight. He didn't get to the top of the ladder by just, you know, taking his ball and going home when he got a little beat up. So, Swayze and Gideon better hope and pray that the Titan is, you know, 45%, because he's going to come ready to hurt somebody. He's going to come ready to dish out everything that he's taken the last couple weeks. I would be slightly worried if I was those guys, because you may have just lit a fire under him that you won't like what happens. But
yeah, ask Nasty Russ about that.
Yeah, exactly. Ask Russ about that. Look at everything Russ did. And those two were best friends. And look what the Titan had no problem doing to Nasty Russ. What do you think he's going to do to somebody he doesn't really care about?
Right?
Swayze should be worried. Gideon might want to start brushing up that resume, because he might already be back on the margin market, looking for somebody else to agent. But
true that.
Could happen. You can't count out Swayze. You can't count out the mastermind of Gideon. It's going to be an interesting match. I'm excited for it.
Which, speaking of Nasty Russ, we saw this announced last time in Fairfield. Comes in. It just looks for a fight. So you're going to see this Saturday, Nasty Russ taking on Jesse Hyde. I mean, that's just going to be... I mean, he attacked him for no reason other than he was mad because he didn't have a match. I think Russ has lost his mind.
Russ may seem crazy on the outside, but he has a plan. I don't think Russ does anything without a purpose. And for him to attack Fairfield's favorite son, rock and roll Jesse Hyde, in Fairfield sends a clear message to everybody in the NWF Army, to the locker room, to the front office, to, you know, the staff running the front door, that Russ will do what he wants when he wants. He said it time and time again, but his actions prove it. He doesn't need to say it. He will do what he wants when he wants, and who's going to stop him is essentially the way Russ looked at this. It's who's going to stop me from doing what I want. They don't book him in a match? Fine. He'll make sure he has one the next time around. He will pick a fight with anybody he has to, and who better than Fairfield's favorite son, Jesse Hyde. That sends a pretty clear message to what he thinks. So, yeah, he may seem crazy and out of his mind, but like I said, Russ is calculated. He doesn't do anything without a purpose. That being said, I don't know if I would have picked a fight with Jesse Hyde, because he's been around for a long time, too. He's no stranger to Nasty Russ. These two have been through a lot with each other. And Jesse's not the type of person who's just going to sit back and play his air guitar and let this slide. He's going to come into Fairfield ready for a fight.
Guns a-blazing. Pack your lunch, Russ.
Yeah, you may have made a fatal flaw there, Nasty Russ, but the Saturday night in Fairfield, I guess we'll see how that all plays out for Nasty Russ. I'm sure he's got some kind of game plan up his sleeve, because it's Nasty Russ, and he always has a plan.
This is very true. But now, this is the main reason we brought you on the show this evening to discuss what Pompano Joe is calling him giving you an opportunity to get another shot. Truth be told, I think you deserve one anyway, but you are in a gauntlet match this Saturday against two different hand-picked opponents by Pompano Joe. You have to defeat consecutively both opponents. Then and only then will he give you, or he says he will give you, another shot at that tri-state title. The man takes he takes the low road a lot, between the chain, the powder, now the title belt, feet on the, he's another one that he's got the talent to pull these wins off without having to stooping to such cheap, low tactics to gain victories.
Those reasons are why I'm not the Tri-State champion today. Yes, Pompano's been going on for months about how he's given me opportunity after opportunity and I deserve no more. Well, let's look at it this way. Pompano has cheated to win every one of those matches. Powder in the eyes, using the powder to distract me so he can get the quick win. Chains, whatever he's had to do, he's never beat me clean, never beat me 100% straight up. He always takes the low road to beat me. And then he wants to say, you don't deserve any more shots.
Even if you had a clean victory over him in Fairfield last month.
Yep, rolled him up right there in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. That right there should have given me a shot. But that wasn't good enough for Pompano. He, you know, says he was nice enough to give me a shot at him, but he wasn't for the title. He made that perfectly clear. But now he'll, out of the kindness of his heart, give me one more shot if, and only if, I can beat two people of his choosing. And that's fine. Because we started off this show talking about how people often overlook me. And Pompano is doing just that. So this Saturday night in Fairfield, that's fine. I will wrestle not one, but two guys to earn my shot at Pompano. Doesn't matter. I said it a couple weeks ago at Bone Crushers. You can line them up. I'll knock them down. Because I now know what Pompano Joe will stoop to retain that title. And now he's going to learn how far I will go to take that title from him. It isn't just now about being the tri-state champion. That's a perk at this point. At this point, I want to humiliate Pompano Joe. I want to teach Pompano Joe a lesson that you don't overlook me, you don't count me out, and I will not quit fighting for what I want. So, in Fairfield, whoever his opponents are, I don't really care. They could be a blast from the past. They can be somebody from up and down the roads that he's traveled. They could be somebody that's already in our locker room. I don't need a game plan. My game plan is to walk into the ring, beat one guy, beat another guy, and then challenge Pompano Joe right then and there and win the Tri-State title.
There you go. I mean, that's actually a very solid game plan to go in with. And just for sake of saying, have eyes in the back of your head as well, because Pompano Joe is no stranger to coming out and trying to either distract or cost people matches.
Oh, I'm no fool. I'm well aware of what Pompano Joe will do. He has come out in my matches time and time again and tried to distract me. He tried to do it a couple weeks ago at Bone Crushers when he, you know, had some scout talent that he wanted to see how he would do against me. He was there. He stuck his nose in the middle of my business in that match. He tried his best to make sure I lost, pulled off the victory. I still managed to win, despite Pompano Joe's best efforts to keep me down. And in Fairfield, in front of the entire NWF Army, with them rallying behind me, I'm going to beat not one, but two guys so I can get my shot at Pompano Joe. And I'm well aware that Pompano is probably going to be at ringside for the entire thing. Pompano Joe is probably going to stick his nose in that match and try to cost me my shot. Because Pompano Joe, despite how great he is in the ring, how talented he is in that ring, Pompano Joe is afraid of me. And I know this because he has to cheat to beat me. I know this because last month in Fairfield, he refused to put the title on the line against me. And when I beat him, he refused to give me another shot at the Tri-State title unless I could beat two guys. So in Fairfield, I'll play Pompano's game. I will run the gauntlet, and then I will run through him.
Now, you made mention the NWF Army rallying behind you. For those people that don't know or that aren't aware, you and I have seen many different crowds, and I must say there is no crowd anywhere like the NWF Army. What does the support of those individuals, those people behind a wrestler, actually mean to them?
Look, we go out there, we put ourselves on the line for them. Without all of them, we're just a bunch of people in a wrestling ring in an empty building beating the crap out of each other for no apparent reason. But being in front of the NWF Army and having them, despite everything I have done, still stand behind me, that is incredible. Like, they have forgiven me for everything I've done when me and Brody were running and beating the crap out of each other with baseball bats. They've forgiven me for all of that stuff, for leaving people laying, busting them open, cheating, and taking the low road, because I'm no stranger to taking the low road myself. I have done it. But they have forgiven me for that. They stand behind me. They believe that I can beat Pompano. After every time Pompano has cheated to beat me or robbed me in a match by sticking his nose in my business, I keep hearing from fans, intermission, before the show, after the show, that they cannot wait for me to get my hands on Pompano. They cannot wait for me to take that title. I hear all the time, you should have won that match. You should be the champion right now. You are going to beat Pompano. You're going to win that title. It's not fair that you have to run the gauntlet, but I hope you can beat him and you can beat Pompano and take that title. And I don't want to let him down. I don't want to let myself down. I don't want to let the NWF Army down, because, like I said, like, they are the reason we do what we do. And for them to support me after everything I've done and still believe that I can beat Pompano, that I can win the Tri-State title, that's a pretty amazing feeling. And I'm not even going to do this for myself. I'm going to do this for the NWF Army.
Does their cheering, their support during those matches, does that kind of give you that extra push to try to keep fighting, to keep willing yourself to go further, to push harder, to reach for that brass ring, so to speak?
Absolutely. Ask any athlete how that crowd reaction feels when you're sitting there and you feel down and out and you're looking at it and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off. And you hear the crowd start rallying behind you. It electrifies you. Right down to your soul, you just feel that energy. And you can't help but, like, awaken. Get that second wind. Get that third wind. And rally back. Like, you, being in that ring, I could be taking the beating. I could hear them chanting for me, cheering for me, wanting me to fire back. And it rejuvenates you. It makes you want to push that much harder and not give up. And any athlete will tell you the same thing, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, soccer, hockey. It doesn't matter. When you start hearing that crowd get behind you, it rallies you. It makes you feel that's the reason why at stadiums, on the scoreboards, they'll put that whole, like, pump up, like, tell you to cheer and stuff like that, because it helps keep your people confident. Like, they can look at that score and be like, we're not going to win. You could be looking up at the lights in the middle of that ring thinking, how am I going to pull this one off? And you hear the crowd, and you're like, I'm going to find a way, because I don't want to let those people down. They came here to spend their money to see me perform at my best, and I'm going to give it to them. You take pride or get out.
Exactly. That is the message. That is the standard that the NWF sets. Athletes, take pride or get out, because honestly, there's no room for people that are going to put forward less than 100%. And I think, truth be told, speaking from personal experience, I think you can attest to this. I think anybody that's in that locker room can attest to this, because I think we've all seen the insides of other locker rooms. This isn't just a group of people that come in, that go out there, that they perform, and they want to perform. This is a family. And like all families, we don't always get along. But damn if you're going to mess with my family.
Every single person in that locker room gives it their all when they step into any building that we're in, whether it's Bone Crushers, whether it's Covington, whether it's Fairfield, whether it's Wilmington. They always give it their all. Every single person that is in the NWF is there for a reason. They love wrestling. Because otherwise, why would you be in the NWF when you can... NWF isn't some place you could just walk in and jump to the top. You have to fight and claw and earn that spot. You have to earn your respect. And
exactly.
It's not an easy feat. And it's something that everybody, whether the crowd likes them or not, the crowd cheers for them or not, the NWF Army has to realize how much we put into this. How much we put our bodies on the line. Like, everybody knows that, but we, the NWF, go above and beyond that. We push ourselves that extra 10, 15, 20% for them, regardless of our own safety. As we've discussed time and time again, those people continue to get out there when they aren't 100%, because
exactly.
That's just the way we are in the NWF.
I mean, you look at guys like, and I'm just going to use him as an example, Jay Donaldson, who has been sidelined for several months, who I won't say at this point it's 100% against doctor's orders, but considering what guys like him, or even guys like Virus, who had a broken neck, passion that these guys have to come back and still perform at the levels they perform at all times speaks to not just their love for a company or for wrestling aside from itself. It's their passion for the business, their passion for the fans, for everything as a whole. And come this Saturday night, if you haven't seen an NWF show, get your tickets. They're available at the BT on Main Street in Hamilton. Make sure you are there. Cheer on your favorite wrestlers. Watch Alex Hayden take on not one, but two men in back-to-back matches to earn what I believe is a title shot for a title he should already have. And that's sincerity. Because
I appreciate that. Yeah, this Saturday night is going to be a test for a lot of people, myself included. Like, wrestling two people back-to-back, that is going to push me to a whole new level. I'm used to taking on multiple people at the same time, like wrestling multiple people, but I usually had a tag team partner. This Saturday night, it's one-on-one followed by another one-on-one with, you know, I'm sure Pompano will be right there at ringside as well. You have the Titan, who is no way possible 100% walking in. That's going to be a challenge for him. You have Christopher Michael Lotus, and you have the self-proclaimed absolute best, Alexis Montez. It's going to be a challenge. Like, this show is going to be incredible. Like, I'm genuinely excited for what is going to happen. Everybody is focused. They are getting focused. They're getting their game plans together. It's going to be a wild ride. I promise you that.
as the NWF always is. Expect the unexpected. It is going to be a barn burner. I can't necessarily say the weather's going to be cold outside, but let me tell you what. Wear something cool and comfy, because the action is going to be scorching hot. You've got reignited rivalries. You've got people that have got grudges, points to prove, people that are trying to put their stamp on this company. I mean, it is going to be electric in there. And if you haven't made it to a show yet, you don't want to miss this.
Yeah, the NWF is the place to be, and this Saturday night in Fairfield, Ohio is the place to be. Like, the energy in the UAW Hall is off the charts. The crowd is always there. They're always 100%. They're always 120%. And it's like nothing else, the atmosphere that is in that building. And if you haven't been, you need to come down. You owe it to yourself to come down, check out the NWF just once, and I promise you, you'll be signing up to get your dog tag and join the NWF Army.
You'll be getting your pre-sale tickets. You'll be wanting to be front row, because the action is fast. It is exciting. Bring your kids, bring your grandkids, because it is family fun entertainment. But I will not lie. It is their nights, but their matches, they're not for the weak at heart. But it is always, always a good time for everyone in the NWF Army. You always get your money's worth and then some. Like I said, these matches alone are worth more. Well, truth be told, they're worth more than the price of admission. You can't go to the movies for what you're going to spend for an exciting night in Fairfield this Saturday for an entire family. I mean, you go to the movies, you spend what? $40 for one person? $40, huh? You can have fun. You can be you, your grandkids. Have a good old time.
You can tear people. You can boo people. You can see some incredible athletes perfect what they do in that ring. It's like nothing else. I mean, I don't have to say it. It's like nothing else. If you are a fan of wrestling, you watch, you know, WWE religiously, but you've never been to an NWF show, trust me, I don't want to see it, because this is where some of the stars you see every week started out, is right in the NWF. And they will tell you time and time again that there is no better place to learn professional wrestling or to be than the NWF.
Exactly.
As somebody who has, you know, been other places, when I come to an NWF event, I'm home. It is such a great time, despite what happens in that ring. The crowd is electric. The crowds are like nothing else. The show is like nothing else. You owe it to yourself to come see one, because we give 110% every single time.
If you're a fan of professional wrestling on any level, be sure you stop by the BP station on Main Street in Hamilton. Make sure you get your pre-sale tickets. General admission are $8 in advance, $10 at the door. VIPs, they're $15, but well worth the cost. Make sure you get your tickets. Doors open at 7, bell time is 8 o'clock this Saturday night at the UAW Hall on Sims Road in Fairfield, Ohio. Alex Hayden, I want to wish you the best of luck. I hope you demolish these two guys that Pompano Joe is bringing in. Obviously, you're at what some people would consider a distinct disadvantage because you don't know who your opponents are. But that being said, I really do feel if anybody's going to pull this off, it's going to be you, and that's going to be this Saturday in Fairfield.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah, it's going to be a challenge regardless, even if I knew who they were or not. Two people back-to-back, it's going to be a challenge, but it's one I'm well worth, you know, willing to take for a shot at Pompano. And, you know, like I said, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been great.
Alex, I will see you this Saturday in Fairfield. Fans, make sure you get your pre-sale tickets. Remember, the doors open at 7, bell time is 8 o'clock. You can get them at the BT station on Main Street in Hamilton. Ace Diamond, take it home.
Miss Callie, that was a great interview, and having known Alex Hayden for a while, I have every confidence in the world that he's going to take that title home when his time comes, and this Saturday sounds like it's going to be a great night, so... Fans, be sure to tune in next week when we review this Saturday's big Fairfield show. For Miss Callie and Alex Hayden, this is Ace Diamond. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.